Theme
song!
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3. It's me, DDP.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world.
How you know?
I love kickball.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Death, death, death!
Did somebody say my name?
I'm trying to have a peaceful talk show, right? I'm not trying to have one of these talk shows at all that end in brawls and fights and everything like that.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
On the door and the night begins. Cause we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live.
And welcome to the Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is Ryan Everybody take a shot, I screwed it up! Welcome to the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG12 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. Song through me, sorry. Live radio, everybody! If you're listening to the show, I really don't screw it up that often. Autopilot didn't kick in. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
Yes, at Rack Radio Show, Wild Talk Radio, on the Twitters, at Lindsay Ward. Interact with us live at rackradioshow.com, wildtalkradio.com, and gerwick.net, because, you know, someone doesn't know. Oh, right, I had half the thing I had to say beforehand.
Yeah, it's like my brain just went, Err,
I'm not going to say the words I should be saying. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what did I just say? Oops.
There was a disconnect between the brain and the mouth, which happens a lot.
Hi, just... everybody. It's a thing. It's a show. Welcome.
Take a shot. The host screwed up the intro.
Because, you know, that's what happens on live radio.
Oh my Jesus. Okay, well, it's going to be a fun night, everybody. We don't have a ton of news, but we have big news for you guys, because there were some pretty impressive breaking stories this week. Oh, Dana White. Dana White is just, like, crying right now somewhere in Vegas, because things happened. But we'll get into that. We have NXT. We have a special announcement. And yes, we are talking the final deletion on this show. If you don't know what that is, go watch Impact Wrestling this week. We're going to talk all about that a little bit later in the show, plus Tweet of the Week. All your favorite segments, they're all here. Do you want to do the announcement now, or do you want to wait till after the news?
Well, I wanted to wait till the very last second of the show to do this announcement. But I said we get it out of the way, and then it'll be promoted throughout the show during, like, all the commercial breaks, because that's where it's been placed. So, here we go, what we've been teasing on Twitter, the big announcement on the Rack.
This Thursday, July 14th, on the Rack.
Another thing, too, the Iron Man match. You seem to be familiar with the business, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Iron Man match. That was a no. Vince didn't want to do that at all.
Right.
Forget it. Forget it. Two little guys for 1 hour? Come on, forget about it on a pay-per-view. I really convinced them. It took me a while, but they did it. And my God, that was so good. I was sitting in the audience. I wanted to feel that moment, and I was actually crying how much I enjoyed that match. You don't think those two kids were happy after? Oh, my God. That's something I'll never forget.
Hear the entire interview with Pat Patterson, Thursday night, July 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So, hey, the one, the only, the legendary Pat Patterson joins us next week, where he is going to talk to us all about his brand new book, Accepted, which comes out in August.
It comes out on August 9th. We talked about the book, a bunch of wrestling stuff. You don't want to miss it. Next week on the show, Pat Patterson, right here.
And the handyman did the interview.
The handyman did the interview. Yes, he did.
So, little mixed up for you guys, just so you know, to keep it fresh.
That's how we roll up in this house.
That's how we roll up in this house. So, yes, everybody, tune in next week. We will have Pat Patterson on the show. But now we're going to jump right into the news brought to by our friends over at Gerwick.net and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And, well, we have to talk about the biggest story of the week, because UFC 200. I cannot talk.
So, last night we were promoting the show, prepping the show, whatever you want to call it.
I'm not even drinking either.
I know. And we wrote down Brock Lesnar UFC because UFC 200 is this Saturday on pay-per-view, and we were just going to talk about his fight. That's it. That's all we were going to do. We're going to, give our prediction, and that was it. Phone call ends. She goes to bed. About an hour later, I see on the bottom line of Fox Sports 1, breaking news. John Jones is no longer in his fight against Daniel Cormier. Huh. Brock Lesnar is the new main event of UFC 200. Like, wait, what? What just happened?
Because somebody got tested for drugs and somebody got popped. Jones tested positive for PEDs. Nobody's really sure which ones. He's professing his innocence. He says that the name on the report is something he can't even pronounce. People think it's a supplement mix-up. They are retesting his blood. There's a B sample that they're going to be testing. But at this point, Jones is definitely out of UFC 200.
Yeah, he's flown home. They're currently testing the sample in Salt Lake City as we speak, or they were as of earlier today. So maybe they'll get the results here in the next couple hours. Yeah, that was a big shockwave. So pulls the big main event. I watched the press conferences yesterday, and I thought, oh, this could. You know they have history, but it's like, oh, they have history, and they just want to tear each other up. And I was like, oh, cool, this is going to be a cool fight. Going to watch Brock, and then watch that. Oh, awesome. And it's like, that's all the fight's off. Now it's like, Brock's in the main event. All right. Merry Christmas to Brock Lesnar, as he said all day today. Merry Christmas to him.
Well, it sucks because for Cormier and Jones, if the B sample comes back positive, Jones is going to have a 2-year ban on him, which means the next time these two could possibly meet is like 2018, something like that. So that sucks.
Oh, that does. It does suck. And Jones is sorry for everything that's happened. And he's, he feels bad for Cormier, who's worked so hard for this fight because they've wanted to do this fight for a while now. And things work a certain way, and this is what happens to the fight. So it's like, okay. Now what? They're searching for a replacement for Cormier, for Jones to fight. No word on who, but they're trying. It could be announced tonight if it actually does in fact happen. They're not sure, but they're gonna work on it. It would be a non-title fight if it does indeed happen. Now it leaves Brock Lesnar to face Mark Hunt in the main event of UFC 200. He was in the main event of UFC 100. Now he main events UFC 200, and he'll be on SummerSlam as well. And we found out on SmackDown who he'll be fighting.
Yes, the Viper will be making his return for SummerSlam, probably sooner than that. But he's definitely on the show as he's facing Brock Lesnar, provided Brock can pass all his medical tests, because he does have to get tested by the commission, I think, in order to wrestle on SummerSlam.
Yeah, if Brock gets hurt, that matchup could be out the window, but as of now, that will be the matchup at SummerSlam. And Brock's ready for this fight. He's geared up, he's ready, he's been training, he's had some fun with the press a little bit. He's ready to go. And I'm looking forward to Mark Hunt and Brock on Saturday. Brock is the betting underdog in this fight, just because he hasn't been in the cage in, 5 years at this point?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it's been a while, and we all remember that what ended his career was the diverticulitis. So he wasn't even healthy when he left. Now he's 100%, but he's been focusing more on wrestling as opposed to UFC. And I mean, Brock is in remarkable shape. Let's not even pretend that he's not. The question is if he's in UFC shape, which he was definitely more toned up at WrestleMania. So I think he's been training like he wants to go back to UFC, and the opportunity presented itself to him, and he went for it. But I have to wonder if this is putting a lot more pressure on Brock, which I'm sure he's not feeling, because honestly, he just does not give a crap about anything. But there's probably a lot of pressure already than the fact that he really does need to win this fight, because there's going to be a really big fat goose egg on a lot of people's faces if he doesn't. Like, WWE, they've built him as this monster, this undefeatable monster. You know, this is the guy that beat The Undertaker for the streak at WrestleMania, right? This is the guy, Brock Lesnar, who's, like, just gone through everybody. Now, all of a sudden, it's like he loses to Mark Hunt, and, well, suddenly you're beast. Isn't it as intimidating?
For him, he doesn't care. He said so. He does not care.
He doesn't care.
What it does to his marketability. WWE, on the other hand, is like, oh my god, Brock, please win, please win, please win, please win, please win. We need you to win. Oh my god, please win, Brock. We need you to beat this dude. Please, please, please. Oh my god, beat his ass. And they're probably scared to death right now.
Oh, yeah. You know their marketing department is just like, oh crap. Okay, all right, we're going to get through this. Like, they're just going to be giving Mark Carano and Triple H oxygen on Saturday, because they're both going to be sitting there like, oh god, please win, please win, please win. Because, I mean, here's the thing. I know Brock doesn't care, but this could affect future negotiations with WWE, because now it's, oh, hey, well, you went and fought in UFC, and you got your butt kicked. You're not as marketable as you were, which means you're not worth the money to us that you were. That's where it's going to hurt him.
It could hurt him long term, but in his mind, all right, whatever, I'll go back to the farm in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, he's made his money. He's good to go. He can go back in the farm. This is basically Brock Lesnar scratching an itch, saying all famous, but what if?
Yeah.
Because his career did get cut short.
It did.
And now it's like he's healthy and he's good, and it's, well, what if? Could I really have done the thing, basically? I don't know how else to basically say it, but this is him fulfilling that. And I think once he does scratch the itch, he may decide he wants to continue with it. He may decide that at the end of his WWE contract, it's like, hey, I'm done. I want to go back to UFC. And he goes back to UFC. Or he could say, yeah, okay, I scratched the itch. I understand what this is. I want to go back to wrestling. Or he could say, screw you both, and just go home.
Yeah, and he's in Canada now. And they did ask him, why you choose Canada? That's where I live. And then they were trying to get him to, you know, make comments about, you know, a certain presidential candidate that he's not too fond of. But he was not having any of it.
Yeah. I mean, Brock doesn't like the press. He really doesn't like giving interviews, unless it's with a chick. He seems to do better with women than he does men.
Hey, Brock, we'll talk.
God, he probably just, like, break me in two with his thumb. But no, it's like, I saw this one interview with him where there's this chick sitting there with him, and he's, like, really awkwardly trying to flirt with her. It's like, wow, Brock, wow. It's like you're sitting there trying to be really charming and really everything, and you're just you
he tries. He does in fact try. Yeah,
because it's like, what, the Sports Center interview, he was trying to be all charming and nice, and, you know, because he's with a chick.
Uh-huh.
He's definitely nicer to women than he is men. Like, guys, he's like, yeah, screw you, f off. Chicks, he's like, hey, I'm Brock Lesnar.
Pretty much that's who he is. So going into the fight, who you got?
Oh god, this is hard. I don't really know anything about Hunt at all, other than I know he broke the last guy that he fought, he broke his jaw. Just for consistency's sake, I'll pick Brock. Because, no, it really, to me, like, it really is a must-win for Brock.
Mm-hmm.
It is, because everything in Vince's world hinges on it. Because if he comes back, say he does get his butt kicked, and he gets it just absolutely handed to him, you can't have him come back to WWE and be this unstoppable force. You can't. There's just no way, because Brock's going to be proved mortal.
And that's the last thing they need right now, especially when they're trying to build him up as the unbeatable monster.
So it's like, it's a really must-win for Brock in terms of Vince McMahon. But at the same time, it's like, well, okay, if Brock loses, then
what now?
what now? What do you do with him? Do you job him out to everybody? Do you have him come back and make this comeback and be this unstoppable beast? Because here's the thing. People are going to remember the Hunt fight for a while. And it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're Brock Lesnar, you're big, you're scary, but you got your butt kicked. Why should I believe that, you know, someone like Bray Wyatt or Randy Orton or even The Undertaker couldn't kick your butt? I mean, it's like if Mark Hunt can do it, anybody can do it. So it's to me, it's a very must-win situation for Brock. I know he doesn't care, but I think everybody else cares for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with Brock because I like seeing Brock beat up people, and it's Brock Lesnar, so why not?
And I want Paul Heyman to do the introduction.
I want Paul Heyman to be there with him. At least lead him to the ring, because he's going to come out to his WWE theme, I believe.
As it should be, damn it.
Yeah. Oh, since, in tradition, will Brock Lesnar win at UFC 200? The Magic 8-Ball says, without a doubt.
All right, well, we're all in agreeance. We'll have to see if it works. But speaking of Bray Wyatt and SportsCenter, natural transition. Bray Wyatt made his anticipated appearance because he was actually supposed to be on SportsCenter last week, but it got delayed due to deaths in the industry, and they were covering that. Totally understandable. So they had Mr. Wyatt and the kids on this week, where they had a very interesting interview with Todd Grisham.
You mean interesting like...
Well, first off, on the attractive note, I know that no man from the Wyatt family has ever struggled with women, just so you know.
I believe it.
But,
Ray, you charming, charming jerk, you. You cocky, charming jerk. Just, like, lay it on, just thick. So, a couple quick notes on this. This is not done by Jonathan Coachman. It was done by Todd Grisham. Bless Todd. He does not follow the product anymore. You can tell he doesn't follow the product anymore because he asked the most really random, basic questions, probably Wikipedia'd them or had an intern Wikipedia them. But it was still a good interview. Bray did the entire interview in character.
Yeah, he did.
Accent and all. He only dropped the accent, I think, like once.
Talk about J.J. Watt, yeah.
Yeah, to talk about J.J. Watt, because they got on football, and it was just like, out of character, talks about J.J. Watt, done, back in.
Yeah.
So it's like,
go ahead.
It's just, he dropped the accent just a little bit.
He did, but a variety of subjects included, he gushed over The Undertaker, talked about wrestling John Cena, talked about his favorite matches, which, you know, they thought, oh yeah, we against The Undertaker. No, it was not. It was the one against in the Royal Rumble against Daniel Bryan, his coming out party. That was a fantastic match.
That was a great match.
And then followed up a month later, the first match with The Shield.
Another great, great match. Yeah. Bray is such a Taker fanboy. It's so adorable.
It really, really is.
Like, every time he gets a chance to talk about Taker, he puts Taker over.
Then he was asked the question of, who's your favorite member of the Wyatt family?
No. First, Grisham was like, you know, Harper, Rowan, Strowman. You know, and Bray's like, what about them?
Which one's your favorite?
Yeah, which one's your favorite? And Eric is like, Strowman is stoic. Bray is stoic. Eric is, what the hell, man? He just got that look on his face like, what? What the hell? We're not picking favorites. I mean, we all know it's Luke. Let's be real. We all know it's Luke. At least those of us in the Wyatt fandom know it's Luke, but Bray being the diplomat said he didn't have a favorite. But yeah, it's like, you go ask a man who his favorite is in front of two of his three children? Dude! No! No! Don't do that. I'm pretty sure Eric wanted to eat him.
He did. He really, really did. But then he was also asked a question about The Rock. And he lays out the challenge. He has some unfinished business with the People's Champion. Laid out a challenge for WrestleMania 33, The Rock versus Bray Wyatt.
I'm in for this.
Do all the things. Make it all happen. Yeah.
You know, honestly, I think there is unfinished business. I think the Wyatt family does need to be redeemed by that a little bit. You know, for Eric's loss, Bray and Rock would be a fantastic match. Especially if you had Rock go lay down for Bray and you had Bray go over.
Which would be fantastic.
Which would be amazing. But that's not going to happen. But still, it's like, that would be good.
Yeah. So it was one of the best in-character interviews out there. They did one, the coach did one with Lana and Rusev a few weeks ago, which was good, but this one was a little bit better.
Bray is always a good interview, just because he's himself.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like at 5 in the morning and he hasn't had his Red Bull yet and he's really, really cranky like he was with, who was it? Was it Top Rope?
Busted Open.
Busted Open, thank you. Yeah. He did an interview with Busted Open where he was like all uber cranky. Because he was not awake yet. You could tell he just had not woken up. Or he had just woken up.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything was cooking yet.
No, it wasn't. Everything was not cooking just there. And then for him.
So he was a little on the grumpy side. But other than that, I mean, yeah, this was a great interview. It was short. It was sweet. It was to the point. You had the boys there. They looked big. They looked scary. They put themselves over as charming, handsome individuals. No problems getting the ladies. No doubt on that. But yeah, great, great interview.
And then on the flip side, as we watched SmackDown, Xavier Woods.
Oh, yes.
Was a little serious in his venture to when talking about the Wyatt family. Yeah, it's going down. They're going to the compound, whether Xavier wants to or not. They're going.
I can't wait for this. I have to just say that. I've been waiting for somebody to go back out to the compound for 2 years, 3 years, because I feel like that needs to happen just in terms of a character development for the Wyatt family, to go back out to that compound and actually get to see it, because we get to see glimpses of it mm-hmm. from time to time. Basically, in the original promos, we got to see it, and then with Cena, Taker.
We've seen it on rare occasions.
Yeah, we see it on a rare occasion. You know, obviously, they always go back to that same barn, which I love the continuity of. And so we get those glimpses, but we've never had anybody get invited out and venture out to the compound. Even with Daniel Bryan, when Daniel Bryan was being inducted into the Wyatt family, we never went out to the compound with Bray and Bryan to see what all of that was about, which I always kind of felt really that there should have been some of that there just for storytelling, but that's just me. But yeah, so we have New Day going out to the compound, and I loved the interview that Xavier did. Because it was really, really serious. And it put the Wyatt family over as this threat, which they've been doing wonderfully in this feud. And, you know, Xavier made a really excellent point. We don't know anything about Bray Wyatt. Nothing. Nobody does. Nobody knows anything about Bray. Nobody knows anything about the Wyatt family. Nobody knows how many there are. You know, it could be just the five of them. It could be 500.
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know what else Bray has out there. You know, apparently he can grow these big bearded bastards on trees, so Lord knows what else he has up his sleeve. And then what I really enjoyed was Xavier brought Harper into it, where he said, "Will Harper be there? We don't know. We don't know anything.
We don't know."
But he made the point that Kofi and Big E have underestimated Bray Wyatt. They've underestimated the family. He put over the fact of what all Bray has done, and that nobody has really been able to stop the Wyatt family. Except for creative.
Pretty much, yeah.
But, I mean, I just had to throw that in there because that's true. But I like this interview.
It was a great interview. They showed a clip of it on SmackDown. The full thing is on WWE.com and YouTube channel right now. You can go listen to it after you're done listening to us right here on the Rack, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network or WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, and Gerwick.net.
Ding! Couple quick notes. Because speaking of Xavier Woods, he will be appearing at San Diego Comic-Con with a few other friends.
Yeah, the New Day will be there, Becky Lynch will be there, AJ Styles is going to be there, and the Shockmaster will be there as well, starting on Thursday, and we'll probably have some updates from Comic-Con next week as they'll be announcing all the new toys.
Ooh. Omega needs to get himself ready.
He has many other things to worry about, like Zack Ryder taking all his points. Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
I'm in the lead!
Hashtag WTR Fantasy.
Go Team Fluffy! Go Team Fluffy, go! Well, who knows? Maybe they'll announce at Comic-Con the new WWE comic.
Which was announced that Boom Studios is partnering with World Wrestling Entertainment to produce comic books and graphic novels. Though the exact details of the partnership have yet to be announced, Hero Complex has the exclusive first image, as we've seen, with John Cena. There's also an image floating around with the New Day on IGN.com. So here at the Boom, we are thrilled to be a part of WWE's return to the comic book medium. So Boom Studios editor-in-chief Matt Gagan. The WWE Universe is a passionate fan base, and we aim to provide them with the comic series that they've always wanted. A series featuring the favorite superstars and storylines, a series that highlights the incredible history of the brand, an authentic series that matters. Boom is no stranger to licensed comics, from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to Big Trouble in Little China, as well as Adventure Time. So, that's cool.
May they be better than the last round.
Anything really could be better than the last round.
True, but I mean, just in terms, and this is not a shot, but it is a shot, just the art. Because some of the art in those comics was really, really, really good, and some of the art in the old comic, or in the previous comics, was really, really, really bad. So I hope they get the art straightened out. And who knows, maybe they can get Jerry Lawler to draw them something. After all, his suspension got lifted.
That was a tie-in. Yeah, Jerry Lawler is back to work after all the charges were dropped last Friday on July 1st. So Jerry Lawler is back to work, as we all saw on SmackDown. It's good to see that it'll end with a positive note rather than the note I was thinking where they would end up firing Jerry Lawler.
I think a lot of people were thinking that. I mean, it's just, you never know with those situations, and it's always just difficult to get through. Mm-hmm. On a personal and a professional level, especially with WWE having a zero-tolerance policy. We all saw what happened with Adam Rose, and I think if Adam Rose had done a couple things differently, it probably would not have ended the way it did. You know, obviously Jerry Lawler, they suspended him, kept him out of action, and they were able to straighten it out, and everything's okay.
So he's back to work at this point, so...
Yeah, excuse me, but it's just, it's a really, really... touchy, difficult situation, so I'm very happy that things worked out for him and his fiance.
Yes.
Because they swore it's not going to happen again, so we'll see how that goes. I don't know if that means they're breaking up. I don't know if that means they're going to counseling. I'm not sure what that means.
No idea what it means, but we'll see what happens between them. WWE has, though, acquired a new trademark called WWE Storytime for a television series most likely coming to the WWE Network.
Bray Wyatt. Get Bray Wyatt. Somebody, I need story time with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, story time with Bray Wyatt. That would be good. Bedtime stories with Bray Wyatt.
As seen on the Edge and Christian show.
Ding.
Oh, Lord. And, well, that does it for WWE news. Quick note on Cody Rhodes. Stephen Amell announced that he will be guest starring in the next season of Arrow, so, boom, the feud continues.
Yeah, it was announced last week when Cody did his first appearance. They did it together at a Comic-Con, and I believe it was Florida, so they announced it. He's going to be part of it. He went to Hollywood. He did the tryout, the audition, and he got the role, so Cody Rhodes will be guest star on Arrow this upcoming season. Something they've wanted to do for a very, very long time.
Yes.
So that's cool. That's cool for Cody Rhodes. He's a lot of things on his plate. He's a lot of wrestling shows he's going to be involved in, and he's going to Hollywood with us, so that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. I like it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, should be cool.
And last but certainly not least, we have one TNA story.
Presented by TNASound.net, the haven for TNA fans.
And, well, wouldn't you know it, on the same week that SmackDown goes live on Tuesdays, Impact Wrestling is moving back to Thursdays on Pop TV starting July 21st.
At 8 p.m. 7 Central on Pop TV, they're very excited about this move. Pop TV is all for this move. This was their idea, because Thursday is the most watched night of the week for television, so the more eyeballs they can get on the programming, they will be happy with. And Pop TV's all on board, like I mentioned. So that's cool. They're moving home, as they're talking about in all the promos and stuff. They're moving back to Thursday nights, which means Lindsay's Impact Report returns, right? Right?
No.
Right?
No. I'm never recapping another Hulk Hogan program as long as I live. Brother. Even though he's not on it. Never, ever doing that again. Oh my God. Brother, brother, sister, mother, father, brother, brother.
So, they're back on Thursday night. So that'd be cool. They'll be leading into us every Thursday.
Hey, not a bad lead-in. So, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you say?
Yeah, I say we do that. And as always, we're going to talk about Final Deletion at the end of the program.
Yes, but you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
This Thursday, July 14, on The Rack.
Another thing, too, the Iron Man match. You seem to be familiar with the business, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Iron Man match. That was a no-no. Vince didn't want to do that at all.
Right.
Forget it. Forget it. Two little guys for 1 hour? Come on, forget about it on a pay-per-view. I really convinced them. It took me a while, but they did it. And my God, that was so good. I was sitting in the audience. I wanted to feel that moment. And I was actually crying how much I enjoyed that match. You don't think those two kids were happy after? Oh, my God. That's something I'll never forget.
Hear the entire interview with Pat Patterson, Thursday night, July 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Woo! I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh!
Bo, please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Say yeah! We go hard, all day, all night. On my brow, set up people who be ready to fight. Say yeah!
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And a big shout-out to our friends over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, and RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much for listening to us. If you're just joining us, you missed our news segment, but you are just in time for our NXT recap.
Say yeah! Say yeah.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
No.
You're not Southern proud?
They are not Southern proud!
They say yeah, they're Southern proud.
No.
That's what their theme is called. It's called Southern Proud.
They do not speak for us.
They don't speak for you?
They're cheaters, man.
They're not cheaters.
Well, fine, they're winners, and we all know the South doesn't win.
Anyway, who is not a cheater? And that's Bayley. She was in the ring against Alexa Bliss in the opening contest on NXT last night. Alexa has new gear.
She does have new gear. It looks nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Alexa and Bayley, holy crap.
This was a really good match. Best matchup for Alexa Bliss in her entire career, I would say. Or one of the best, at least.
Yeah, I would say one of the best. I wouldn't say it's the best, but yeah, these two mix really well together. It's nice to see Bayley finally getting back in the ring, mixing it up, and Alexa is just the perfect foil for her.
She really was. Bayley got cut off early. Alexa would control a lot of the matchup, worked over the head and neck. Bayley would fight back, hit the buckle bomb, you know, like her friend Seth Rollins would do. She had big running elbows, tries to go for it again. Alexa with a sunset flip. Bayley stopped it. Alexa would hit a big right hand, taking down Bayley as we went to break. Coming back, Bliss would then eventually hit her evil sparkle fairy look and then her version of a chokeslam, her back flip, double stomp, double knees to the chest, which was nice. Bayley stopped Alexa on the top rope, gets knocked off. Sunset powerbomb by Bliss for a two count. Alexa was getting mad at the ref at this point. We had back and forth pinfall attempts by both women. Belly to back by Bayley for a two count. Bliss got caught with an elbow, but Bliss then caught her off the top rope. Bliss went for a Vader bomb. Bayley got her knees up. Bayley to belly for the win. Bayley wins.
Go Bayley!
Bayley then talked about this has been a long road back. She lost to title in Dallas. She keeps getting knocked down, but she gets up again. She got knocked down, she got up again. Sounded like a song we've heard in the past. No idea. She had to sit back and watch Nia take her opportunity. She's now back. Cue Nia Jax. Nia says she's going to put Bayley back on the shelf. As Bayley wants one more match, Nia agrees they should have used microphones, but you sort of heard what they were talking about.
I'm kind of excited for this. Mm-hmm. Just because you have Bayley with a new, more serious attitude. She's coming at it differently. And again, she needs that really strong heel to work against, which both Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax are. Nia's really kind of come into her own.
Yeah.
So I really am a little excited for this. A little bit more than a little, but yeah, I'm excited for this.
We had a hype video for TM61. We then heard from Dash and Dawson, who aren't worried. They have no doubt they win tonight, because we talk heavy, we hit hard, and we will remain the best tag team on the planet.
Yay.
Blake and
Murphy. I don't like the Revivals, though.
Blake and Murphy, who are sort of partners, took on the Hype Bros. Match really didn't get going, as Blake and Murphy were arguing, as out of nowhere, the Man Beast Rhino returns. He gores everyone but Murphy, who escaped the gores.
And, well, Blake and Murphy fought. They're like an old married couple. They can't decide if they want to be together or be apart.
Pretty much. So Rhino's back.
Hey!
It'll be interesting to see where they go with Rhino. But it's cool he's back. The announcers put over that it's been since the fall since we've seen him, since he came back up and did the whole thing with the Wyatts. So he spent some time down in the compound. He's back. He's back to his normal self.
That's something.
So we then had an inside look at Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura, which takes place next week on NXT. We had comments from Triple H, Stan, a.k.a. The Perfect Ten, a.k.a. Ty Dillinger, Neville, and the American Alpha, among others, talking up this matchup. Yeah, it's going to be good next week. I'm really looking forward to it.
This is, you know, as they said, this is a dream match, if ever there was a dream match. I mean, this is just going to be off the charts insane, and I really, really hope that they go all out for this, that they don't hold back, because I don't think they are.
From everything I've heard, it's good as we think, if not better. Yeah. If not better.
Yeah, everything, all reports are indicating that it's a really fantastic match. I'm excited for this. And the fact that it's not on a network special, too. That's what's so insane about it. They're going to give you Balor and Shinsuke, but I understand why they're doing it because, well, the draft is coming. So at least one of them is probably going to get drafted, if not both.
At least one of them to start.
Yeah, at least one of them to start. My money is on Finn. This is probably his farewell match out of NXT. Because they tend to do that, where it's like, okay, we're going to do the dream match as the farewell. But yeah, excited for this. But it was such a kick to the feels when they're like, Shinsuke and Finn are like, oh yeah, we're like BFFs. It's like, oh, that's a kick to the feels.
And then they show old photos of the two of them together. Neville with his, not Neville, Finn with his bleach blonde hair.
Although we did see Neville, he was talking about it.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh yeah. But no, bleach blonde hair for Finn.
Yeah, his messy hair, his bleach blonde hair, him and Shinsuke hanging out. It was this really great package that they put together. And honestly, I really love the matches where it's two friends.
Yeah.
Because friends make both the best bitter enemies and also just great dance partners because they know each other so well. So it goes to just a complete whole different level in terms of a match because they're more willing to try things and do things that they wouldn't with a stranger.
Like your Kevin Owens Sami Zayn feud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they just went for it.
And I have a feeling they're going to go all out next week on NXT. So we had the American Alpha talk about being ready for the matchup. We've never been more ready, willing, and Gable.
They brought it back.
They did.
I popped for it.
So they tried talking to Rhino. He ignored their question on why he's back in NXT. Rhino was having none of it. And then it got to our main event. 2 of 3 falls for the NXT Tag Team Championship. The Revival taking on American Alpha. Not sure I like the gear for it, the American Alpha.
It's okay. It's very patriotic.
Yeah, not really. Less patriotic, it's just weird. Anyway, we had the Revival working on Jordan, the leg of Jordan in the first fall. There was a big collision with Revival Gable. We had the AMW leg drop. I forget what they called it. So I just called the AMW leg drop in my notes. By the Revival for a 2 count. You know what was the AMW's finish? You should know this.
Seducens.
Thank you. I forgot the name of it. So I wrote down AMW leg drop. I forgot it. You know how long it's been since James Storm and Chris Harris have been a team?
Well, cheap plug time. If you are in the Lebanon, Tennessee area and you want to see James Storm and Chris Harris team up one more time, especially against the Naturals, Andy Douglas and Chase Stevens, if anybody remembers them, which you should, by God. Go check it out. Tomorrow night, I think like 8 or 8:30 is bell time, something like that.
Is it tomorrow or is it Saturday?
Or I'm sorry, it's Saturday. I keep thinking it's Friday. It's Saturday. So look up USA Championship Wrestling or AMW versus the Naturals. Lebanon, Tennessee, you'll probably find it. I don't know who it is, but yeah. AMW and the Naturals. One more time. They're bringing Andy Douglas out of retirement, y'all.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
It's legit happening.
We assume.
He'll be there.
Anyway, back to the matchup. Gable was escaped a double team and got the hot tag. Jordan, who ran wild, reversed crossbody into an ankle lock. Ankle lock by Gable on the outside. Dash would tap out to the ankle lock for Jason Jordan. So first fall went to the American Alpha. Fall number 2 went to the Revival. The reverse figure 4 had Jordan tap out. Then we got to the finish. Grand Amplitude, no. Shattered Machine, no. Ankle lock by Jordan. Dawson escaped. Inverted figure 4. Gable with a diving headbutt to break it up. Gable and Dash spill to the outside. Gable gets tagged in eventually. Battles with Dawson on the ring apron. German suplex attempt, no. Dash breaks it up. The Shattered Machine on the apron. And your winners, the Revival, to retain the NXT Tag Team titles. Best part about this match, we did not have a pinfall to like 15 minutes in. Usually in WWE 2 out of 3 falls match, first 5 minutes, there's the pinfall. No, these guys had a real match. And, you know, you've worn down your opponent up after 15 minutes, they're more susceptible to, you know, pinfalls at that point. So that's what they did.
Yeah, I always like in 2 out of 3 falls where they go for the first pin late, where you actually do the match.
Yeah.
And have that match happen. And then you get to the pinfalls. I always hate it when they do it in like the first 5 minutes, because then it's like, oh.
Because you know it's not real. It's not a real fight. This was a real fight.
Yeah, this was a real fight. They wore each other down. My only complaint was I wish it was a little bit longer so they could space the pins more, because I didn't like that they were all three right there together. But the finish of this match was absolutely spectacularly done. Really, really well told story. Both teams just went for it. This was actually about a 30-minute match that they got on NXT, which is spectacular.
Yeah.
I would say. But yeah, this was a great match from start to finish.
This was great. Good job by all the Revival retain the tag team titles, which means next week we will have Finn and Shinsuke. It's a thing next week on NXT.
Just expect for my ovaries to explode. Just everybody prepare yourself for that, because it's going to happen.
Most likely, yes it will.
But on that note, I say we take our second and final break of the evening. What do you say?
I say let's talk about Final Deletion next.
So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
that was just recently.
It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now. Man.
Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American. You all
I'm
pick.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it. I see them too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny. Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I seen them face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks. I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team has titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked Brie. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed to
Cancer Rock. Oh shit, well that's one for me because I'm sticking to my original pick.
Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you.
I told you I'm my own worst enemy.
He's coming. Just like bump my HP up to like almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This Thursday, July 14, on The Rack.
Another thing, too, the Iron Man match. You seem to be very familiar with the business, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Iron Man match. That was a no-no. Vince didn't want to do that at all.
Right.
Forget it. Forget it. Two little guys for 1 hour? Come on, forget about it on a pay-per-view. I really convinced him. It took me a while, but they did it. And my God, that was so good. I was sitting in the audience. I wanted to feel that moment. And I was actually crying how much I enjoyed that match. You don't think those two kids were happy after? Oh, my God. That's something I'll never forget.
Hear the entire interview with Pat Patterson Thursday night, July 14th at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Barbie Blank, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. If you're just joining us, you missed news, you missed NXT, but you are just in time for Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Before you begin with your tweets, I forgot that Matt Hardy could slap tornadoes.
You forgot that?
It's been a while since I've heard it. I knew he always could, but it's like, oh yeah, Matt Hardy used to slap tornadoes. You know.
But he's broken now, so maybe he can't.
Maybe. Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll
get there really quick.
Natty posted a picture. Thank you, WWE Tokyo. I love Japan. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. And hi, Sasha Banks. To which Sasha Banks replies, I hate you and your cats.
Sasha wants a picture of her and,
She's
in love with Shinsuke. Yeah, she wants to get a picture with Shinsuke.
It's adorable. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, quick shout out to all the flight attendants who let me recline during takeoff and landing. Hashtag real heroes, hashtag fight the power. Oh, Seth, you're so special. Vincent Stanley asked the club, my eight-year wedding anniversary is tomorrow. Will you beat up John Cena for us? AJ Styles replies, for your eight-year anniversary, yes, and even if it wasn't. Luke Gallows, I just had a plate of oysters, and then I beat up John Cena. AJ Styles, I'm going to eat at the Waffle House and then beat up John Cena. They had way the hell too much fun with this, by the way.
Oh, I know.
Tony Cheese. AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. And then I beat up John Cena. Somebody put up a picture of Roddy Piper and said, I came here to do two things, beat up John Cena and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum. PWI show posted Kevin Durant made an important decision today to beat up John Cena. Luke Gallows tweeted, Uncle Alan just finished eating. Guess it's time to beat up John Cena. And we see a picture of AJ Styles with his phone in his hand and a plate of eggs. And they were sitting across from each other, taking pictures of each other, posting on Twitter, because the next one is Luke Gallows sitting there with a plate of eggs in front of him and his phone in his hand. And AJ Styles goes, Well, guess what time it is? Beat up John Cena. Kelsey, close your eyes and tap your heels together three times and think to yourself, there's no place like beat up John Cena. Kevin Owens, some people brag about how they beat up John Cena. Me? I actually beat John Cena my first match and then turned this whole place into the Kevin Owens show.
Son of a bitch.
I want that to turn into a feud. I want AJ and Kevin to feud over, feud over it.
By the way, that's two you've taken from me so far.
I'm pretty sure I got to them first.
No, I'm pretty sure I got to them first.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Dude, I got the Owens one when it came out.
So did I.
Beat you to it.
Lies. Spreading lies.
The original tweet's unavailable for what they called Kevin. So it's not as funny, but it says, you know, I don't know anybody by that name. I think he called him, like, little bit different from his name. I don't know.
Who knows?
Person deleted. They got embarrassed.
He was finally deleted.
Carl Anderson. Boston. Orlando. Tampa. Hawaii. Tokyo. Columbus. Toledo. Now home, and I'm going to hit some hot yoga with my hot Asian wife after... beat up John Cena. Seth Rollins, Adam Pearce. Who's coming to Ontario this weekend? I'll see you there. Seth Rollins. Don't you dare get in my way or I'll fill a bag full of bars of soap and beat the crap out of you with it. Adam Pearce replies, at least I'll smell good. May I suggest Irish Spring?
If you still have one more that's AJ Styles, I will hurt you.
Nope, that's it.
You sure?
Positive. I can go get it.
No. Jason Gay, watching NBA free agency feels like watching people buy snacks at the airport. $8 for a cup of grapes. Who knew? They were overpaid. So Robbie posted a picture and with the caption, poor Matt Hardy brand can't even drink coffee anymore. And it was Cafe Nero. Matt Hardy replied, hashtag brother Nero will be reduced to coffee grinds when I'm finished with him. Hashtag the final deletion. Tommaso Ciampa. My first thought after approximately 90% of the GIFs I watch, never taking that. Dolph Ziggler. Enjoy freedom today, and in November, enjoy freedom to vote for pizza because only news you know is Facebook memes, and you can't even. Hashtag Happy Fourth, not Bill Walton. The only logical reason why Kevin Durant signed with the Wizards is that he wants to avoid being punched in the balls by Draymond Green. Kyle Lewis. I'm convinced that Enzo spends most of the clothes budget on himself and leaves cast $30 to buy one shirt from WWEshop.com. Keep it 5-star. How come Ambrose is allowed to say more Spanish on Raw than Alberto Del Rio? Wondering that question. Imagine if every job application was like this. You just walk up to a podium and say where you want to work for Google. Hashtag Raw. Sharkboy. Awaiting the final leash of Impact Wrestling tomorrow night with bated breath. I was sent an advanced copy, but I accidentally deleted it. No, Rachel. We're doing tweets. We're doing tweets. And then we're talking final deletion. For those just tuning into the program. Read that one of mine. Alright. Nia Jax, responsive fan who goes, I hope Nia Jax gets injured. She goes, LOL. It doesn't seem like you were hugged as a child.
Who would seriously wish that?
I don't know, but say hi to Rachel.
Hi, Rachel!
There you go. EC3. Vanguard 1 is more of an asset to the roster than Matt Hardy. Hashtag the final deletion. Broken Matt Hardy. I will castrate you before I delete your ass. Hashtag the final deletion.
Oh my.
James Storm. One of the craziest and dangerous things I saw last night on Final Deletion, the ref driving without a seatbelt. What's he thinking?
So dangerous. So dangerous.
Tommy Dreamer. Dear WWE Network, please do a Saturday morning cartoon called Brother Nero as a new Tom and Jerry with Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy. They are great.
Actually, it would make a really good cartoon.
AG Brooks. Today is the day I open my heart to new friendships and my new life to new experiences. Oh, never mind. Pokemon Go. Fuck everything else. AJ Styles. I'm going to soak up some rays, take a dip in the pool, take a ride on the dolphin, and then beat up John Cena.
They had way too much fun with this.
Yeah, they did. Richard Triumfo. Episodes of Impact I want? EC3 shopping for turnbuckle pads. Maria finishing a single sentence in 2 hours. Shira being deported. That is Tweet of the Week.
That is Tweet of the Week. And now, because we've teased you about it long enough, we are going to talk all about this past Thursday night, or Tuesday night. Good Lord, can't even get my days right. Tuesday night, I'm not drinking, I swear.
Well, you're confused because in the news we talked about how they're moving to Thursday nights.
It's habit. I don't think I ever realized that they went to Tuesdays. Like, it never clicked in my brain. But anyway, Tuesday nights, Impact, including, or mainly, really only, The Final Deletion, starring Matt and Jeff Hardy.
No. It's not just starring Matt and Jeff Hardy. Oh, no. The main star. We have to talk about the main star of this whole thing. Senior Benjamin.
Senior Benjamin. Yes, with guest appearances by Senior Benjamin.
Rebby Sky. And Baby Maxwell.
Okay.
This was interesting. So they set it up. The entire episode, they were doing teasers, including Matt Hardy doing them speaking Spanish around Matt Hardy, the Senior Benjamin, who specializes in lawn care, excavation, irrigation, and massacre. Those are his qualities. And he was the one setting up the ring and everything like that. They had Maxwell's birthday party, which was interesting. His real birthday party was the next day, so they used everything for it. There was a part where there were drones with holograms and drones. Holograms and drones. And then we had a wrestling match. Oh, did we have a wrestling match?
I think they tried to kill each other, personally.
They legit were trying to kill each other. This was a legit thing.
And they were shooting fireworks with guns, like homemade firework guns at each other, because that's safe. They were using tiki torches for the lamps on the ring corners. I swear to God, I thought Jeff Hardy was going to light his hair on fire about 4 times. Let's see, what else did they do? Fire played a big role in this match. They set the Hardy symbol on fire to kind of end the match.
With Maxwell's birthday candle.
It was a vital piece of this match. We also went and played in the lake. Jeff Hardy hid behind a boat. He threw himself out of a tree onto a ladder where Matt was laying on it. And it was not, and part of this was, none of this was rigged. So the tables and the ladders and the fireworks and the fire, none of this was really rigged like you would for a wrestling match. The ladder was, they literally took an aluminum ladder, cut it in half, and that's what they used. Like, it was just a normal ladder you pick up at Home Depot. They hadn't done anything to really weaken it. So it's like, Hardy took that dive out of the tree onto Matt. Well, Matt obviously moved to take the bump, but Jeff's back caught the lip of the ladder. See, you know that hurt.
Yeah, with WWE, they don't really do much to the ladders, but they're thicker. So there's a little bit more protection with them. This was a thin ladder, so you know the edges are metal, and you just pierce into your back when you hit it. And yeah, that one spot where he did the swanton off the tree. Yes.
Yeah.
Again, swanton off a tree.
That left a mark, literally. Ladder.
Yeah. We were shooting each other with the fireworks. Oh my God, we were shooting each other with fireworks.
They were trying to light each other on fire. They were. They were. I mean, it's like, Matt got his out first, and he's firing at Jeff. And Jeff doesn't really have any protection around him, so he's trying to shield himself. He grabs a trash can lid as a shield to protect himself from this, and then he gets one, and he starts shooting at Matt. And Matt hides under this boat down by this man-made lake that I guess Hardy has. And then, then they went in the water, and they started wrestling in the water. And, Matt proceeds to drown, in quotations, Jeff Hardy, and proclaim victory over Jeff Hardy, except, oh, wait, who is that behind Matt Hardy? I see a black and white umbrella, a freaky mask. Oh, my God, it's Willow.
Yeah.
So you have Matt and Willow fight, but in the end, Matt subdues Willow. He beats Willow, and he goes to unmask Willow in the Scooby-Doo-esque moment. And, when he unmasks Willow, who is it?
Uh-oh.
Senior Benjamin.
No! He killed Matt. He hurt Senior Benjamin. No!
He hurt Senior Benjamin. You bastard. I hope you get him something really nice.
For Father's Day.
For Father's Day next year. And then, well, Jeff Hardy got the jump on Matt Hardy. They fought into, I guess, Hardy's dirt bike track. They fought around the symbol. Jeff was going to take a dive, I think, off the symbol, but he got knocked off. It got lit on fire. Mm-hmm. But in the end, Matt Hardy conquers Jeff Hardy, and he, quote-unquote, deletes his brother.
He did. He deleted him on all the social medias. It's now Matt Hardy has taken over. Brother Nero is no more. It's only broken Matt Hardy.
It's only broken Matt Hardy. Okay, I want to focus on the positive first. Before I give my assistant of the match, I have to really applaud them for doing something different with this.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's worth a watch. They have the director's cut out there with more footage than what was aired on Impact Wrestling, because obviously they could not put everything on the show. But overall, it's worth the watch. I really do applaud them for doing something different. I applaud Matt Hardy for doing something different, for Jeff Hardy doing something different, for TNA for going with it. They went all out on this. They busted their butts for it. I cannot discredit this at all in terms of them doing that. Their effort in this shows. That being said,
before you continue, they did go out on this. They did try many different things, and this is something they're going to continue to try to do. Things for them where you don't know the outcome because it's filmed off location. This is something, a concept they want to try. They've tried it before, but they're going to ramp it up with sort of stuff like this. Now you can continue.
That being said, what the hell? Okay, like I said, I applaud them being different. But this was the furthest thing from safe I've ever seen in my life. They tried to kill each other. Jeff Hardy almost lit his head on fire 4 times. A couple times with the tiki torches, a couple more times with the fireworks.
We were sitting here yelling at the TVs. Like, this is not safe. This is not safe at all.
They broke those fireworks out, man. And I was like, oh my God, somebody's going to lose a hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was terrifying because it's like, they literally took backyard wrestling, they glorified it, and they put it on national television, and it's basically, we're all sitting here watching it going, holy crap. I think that was everybody's general response, was just holy crap to this.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, side note, we also had Matt Hardy stalking Jeff Hardy with drones all through his house.
Yeah, we had the hologram drone.
We had a hologram drone. My God. Help me, Brother Nero, you're my only hope. In terms of them wanting to continue to do this, I see why they would want to continue to do this, because it's basically you send a pair of wrestlers out somewhere, you set up a ring, you send Jeremy Borash out there with a camera, you have him film it, you have him cut it, and then you have him air it. They air it from the studios in Nashville. So for them, it's considerably cheaper to film.
Props to Jeremy Borash for putting it all together. Him and Matt Hardy. This was his and Matt Hardy's brainchild, this whole creation.
This is terrifying. They should never be allowed to collaborate again. I mean, it was different. They tried something different. I will say I really did like the way they did some of the camera angles, because they did use a drone for the upshots.
Yeah.
So they did a really nice job with that. The handheld was a little hard to see because it was just dark and it wasn't well lit. Mm-hmm. But it's not supposed to be well lit. It's not what you're used to, but it was a little hard to see some of it because it just wasn't lit well.
Right. The overall effort worked. They got 400-something thousand viewers, which was up almost 80,000-90,000 viewers from the previous week. So they're building that Tuesday night. Oh, wait. They're building an audience again. Hopefully they'll see them on Tuesday and then move back to Thursdays with them. You got people talking. You got the wrestling world talking. You got everyone watching. People all around the world were watching. The wrestlers, WWE wrestlers in Japan, were watching it in Japan over the weekend. The creative team was watching it, I think, on Wednesday. Everyone's seen this. This has been the talk of the internet. The talk of the wrestling community. They did their job.
They did their job. I mean, this is the most relevant TNA and the Hardys have been in probably 5 years.
Yeah.
My only complaint with it, aside from, holy crap, it was nuts, was TNA is not seizing that. I mean, honestly, it's like you should have had, like you said this afternoon, you should have had your talent out talking about that match, promoting that match. You should have had them use the buzz from it to promote the upcoming pay-per-view.
Well, it's not a pay-per-view, it's the Tuesday's Impact. It's called Destination X. But yes, that's the whole idea. Yes, they were on social media. Yes, they were talking about it all over social media, but social media only gets you so far. Put them on radio shows. Get them all on... Get them doing interviews, because interviews go, they travel. They get on all the websites. You get all your wrestlers talking about it. And, you know, you capitalize on the social media is good. Word of mouth is better. Press is better than just social media. They should be out in full force promoting Dice Destination X, which has Eddie Edwards and Bobby Lashley for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship as he's cashing in option C on Tuesday night's semi-live Impact.
Woohoo!
But yeah, they should be out in full force promoting, and they're doing decent on social media, but it would have been better if they, you know, fully promoted things. It's a missed opportunity if they do not capitalize on it the rest of the week.
Agreed.
But yeah, that was... Final Deletion was special. Very, very special. Maybe even more special here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Hint, hint. Wink, wink. Wink. You talked to Omega yet?
Not yet.
Oh, goody. That's going to be a fun conversation. But I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah. I said that we're done. We're good. We're good. We're good.
All right. Well, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
This will do it for another edition of Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio live on Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. We're going to talk all the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We'll talk, I think, doing something with movies. Forget the action movies. We're going to start the action movie top 100 list, and we'll probably be talking about Brock Lesnar's UFC return, because it'll be happening probably as we're getting ready to go live on the show. So we'll talk all about it. At least I will. Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sunday night is Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and Heartbreak Mike. 10 p.m. Eastern. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com and vote for the all-time greatest. WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday nights are all post-show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And then we'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, featuring the one, the only, Pat Patterson. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. This show is on Twitter at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. You can get this show anytime, on demand, podcasted, Rack Radio Show. Search it out on those platforms. Get all the network. Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes and Stitcher as well. And tune in radio wherever you are. You can listen on the go. Tune in radio. Search Wild Talk Radio Network.
We good?
We're good.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. If you like my work, if you'd like to view my work, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. Don't forget to check out our awesome sponsors, Gerwick.net, TNAsylum.net, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop motion wrestling action figure needs.
Hold on.
Also,
hold on. Check out his blog, MBG1211.wordpress.com.
You're just throwing in extra plugs now.
I know. I told him to give me a new commercial for all of his new stuff.
Get on it, Matt. And if you have a chance, check out Rachel's awesome podcast, Untapped Potential. She's got, I think, a new episode coming soon. Maybe, possibly. Oh, wait, it's already out. It's already out. Episode 38, For Whom the Bell Tolls. So go check it out. You can follow them on Twitter at Untappus, UNTAPPUS, on the Twitter. So go check them out. But for Rock, I'm Lindsay. We will be back next week with Pat Patterson, so you don't want to miss it. But till then, you've been listening to Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll see you later. Bye!